Lord. This morning, please turn to John 4:24. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Just coming the time. My dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this morning, this day that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity that, Lord, in your name, Lord, we can come here, Lord. We can worship you as a church, Lord. We can worship you as a body of Christ, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and our Master, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a spirit, Lord, that, Lord, we can rejoice through that spirit in you, Lord, and we can have the communication with you, Lord. Lord, commit this time, this morning, and each one of us into your hand, Lord. And we ask your presence in midst of us, Lord. I pray and commit this time with the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As here, we can see that this morning, as we heard very small testimonies of Sister Sinu and Raj, Brother Matthew, that's all happening because we have a God in our life. We have His presence. And our God is a living God. So this morning, actually, I want to meditate the few questions that I ask myself about the living God. And I want to share a few scripture portions this morning. So please, the first question I ask, that can living God listen? Okay. So please turn to Daniel chapter 6. Book of Daniel chapter 6. So here in Daniel chapter 6, there is a little scripture portion. We can see that between the Daniel, that there was a king, Darius. I start to read from 1, and it goes up to 23, but I won't read all the verses. But mainly I want to read from verses 10 to 23, but just give you the context. That there was a king, Darius, and he was having a kingdom, and he chose 3 supervisors or governors to manage his kingdom. And Daniel was one of them. And Daniel was an honest and hardworking person, and as he was leading by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, and he was believing in God, the living God. And he become actually very close to the king. That from the story we can see that king was trusting Daniel more by looking at his works and his honesty. So then Darius king decided that he wants to make the Daniel to the main governor who can handle the whole kingdom. But there were other governors as well, and they were not happy with this, so they were trying to find the fault in Daniel's work, but they couldn't, right? So they tried to apply the tricks, and they went to the king and said that let's pass the law that no one in this kingdom can worship to any other gods or a human for 30 days. And Daniel come to know about that. And then from verse 10, even though Daniel knew that the new law has been written, he went to pray in the upstairs room in his house, which had windows that opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times each day Daniel would kneel down to pray and thank God, just as he always has done. Then those men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and talked to him about the law he has made. They said, didn't you sign a law that says no one may pray to any god or human except you, O king? Doesn't it say that anyone who disobeyed during the next 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, yes, that is the law, and the laws of the Medes and Persian cannot be cancelled or changed. Then they said to King Daniel, one of the captives from Judah is not paying attention to you, O king, or to the law you signed. Daniel still prays to his God three times every day. The king became very upset when he heard this. He wanted to save Daniel, and he worked hard until sunset trying to think of a way to save him. Then those men went as a group to the king. They said, remember, O king, the law of Medes and Persians says that no law or command given by the king can be changed. So King Darius gave the order, and Daniel was brought in and thrown into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may the God you serve all the time save you. A big stone was brought and placed over the opening of the lion's den. Then the king used his signet ring and rings of his royal officers to put special seals on the rock. This ensured that no one would move the rock and bring Daniel out. Then King Darius went back to his palace. He did not eat that night. He did not have any entertainment brought to him, and he could not sleep. The next morning, King Darius got up at dawn and hurried to the lion's den. As he came near the den, he was worried. He called out to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God that you always worship been able to save you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels to close the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me because my God knows I am innocent. I never did anything wrong to you, O king. 23. King Darius was very happy and told his servants to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. So they lifted him out and did not find any injury on him because Daniel had trusted in his God. So from this story, the little story, we can see that how wonderfully Lord listened him. He was praying to the Lord. He was praying to the Lord in the right spirit and in the truth. And Lord listened his prayers. And he was safe. Even though there were lions and he, thrown down into the dens, still he was safe. Right? The only reason is that he is a living God. And he trusted the Lord. Second story is from the Daniel only, Daniel 3. So there is here also there are three guys who are also from the Judah and from where the Daniel was. And the previous king actually was Nebuchadnezzar. He actually, just give you a context, that one time he decided that let's make the big statue 90 feet in a height and 60 feet in a width, something. And then he decided that call out all the nations and people and the people who speak all the different languages and let them invite. And, he wanted that all people come there and worship that statue that he built up. And people came and he gave the command that when this musical instrument will play, all must have to be bowed down and worship to this idol or that statue. But three guys here in verse 16, three guys were there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't worship that idols. They didn't worship that statue. right? And verse 16 onwards, just want to say, they answered the king. Verse 15. In a moment you will. Okay, so they didn't worship first time, and the second time, then king asked them to come, and king discussed with them, why you didn't worship? I give you the second chance, and if you don't worship, I will throw out in a burning fire. And that king gave another chance to these three guys. And then I think 16, that answered the king, saying, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from the furnace. He will save us from your power, O king. But even if God does not save us, we want you, O king, to know this. We will not serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious and with this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he changed his mind. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up and thrown into the blazing furnace while still wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes. The king's commands was very strict, and the furnace was made so hot that the flames killed the strong soldiers who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. Firmly tied, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the blazing furnace. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was so surprised that he jumped to his feet. He asked the men who advised you, didn't we tie up only 3 men and throw them into the fire? And they answered, yes, O king. The king, look, I see 4 men walking around him in the fire. They are not tied up and they are not burnt. The 4th man looks like the Son of God. And followed by the story, we can see that fire was not able to burn up those 3 guys. And the things actually came in my heart, that who was listening all these conversations? The king was trying to convince these 3 guys that if you don't worship this statue, you will be in the fire. Who is listening this all conversations? That living God. That living God is listening these conversations. And as he listens, because of that listening, he saved these 3 guys, and he was present there. We can see here in this, the 4th man looks like the Son of the Gods. So, yes, that living God listens. And present in Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. So why he said like that? Because he listens to us. And every day, like we have this example, we pray. For example, this morning only, Sister Toby prayed to the God, and he listens, and he gave you that what you wanted, right? So, yes, the living God that we are worshipping this morning, he listens us. The second question actually come to me, that, okay, that living God, where does he live then? Any living creatures live at some physical place on this earth, right? Many people try to find God at some physical place like temple. People go to some physical building or temple and worship idols because they believe that God lives on those idols. Right? Then what about the living God? Can living God live in idols? Which idols are, you know, itself dead? Then where this God, living God lives? If you turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, And Paul says there, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Don't need to turn. I just read. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them, walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So, what is the place for the living God? That's our body. Right? For we are the temple of the living God. So, yes, He lives, definitely. And what is His temple? That is our body. The third question actually come to me that, okay, then does this living God have any feelings? See, Friday night, Sister Deepika was sharing about Mary Magdalene. And she was demon-possessed. There were seven demons in her, right? But when Jesus passed through, He felt for her, isn't it? He felt for her. He cast out those demons from her, right? The dead Lazarus, Jesus felt for that Lazarus and He gave the new life to Lazarus, isn't it? And as we can read the New Testament, He healed thousands of people from their sickness, right? And the same thing true for us as well. He fell for us and He saved us from the eternal death, doesn't it? Don't we know that, like, He fell for us? Otherwise, I don't think so we all are here this morning to worship Him. He fell for us. He sought us. He seek for us. He loved us. Because He has feelings. Because He loves us. Because He considers us as His children. So yes, He has a feelings. And as I am saying that the living God, then any living being on this earth, like, you know, moves around. It's not stagnant. It's not stable at any one particular place. Like, just like the idols, which is wherever you set up, it will stay there only. Idols cannot move itself, right? But the living God, the Spirit of living God, move around on this earth from the beginning. If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, it starts with there only. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And followed by, we can see that how beautifully God created this earth and all the creatures on this earth, and followed by human. So yes, God's Spirit was moving from that time. That means from the beginning, His Spirit is moving around. And followed by in the Bible through Old Testament and New Testament, till Revelation, we can see the thousands of characters which were led by the Spirit. Because Spirit is moving, that's why we can see all these characters in the Bible. And Lord has put the example for us that I am a living God. And my Spirit is moving. Time to time, we can see that. The same thing, that Spirit is moved in our life as well. And He saved us. Right? Okay, the fifth question actually comes that, as He has a feelings, does He really love us? Or love the people? The very famous verse, I think everyone knows that, John 3:16, right? That for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And one more verse, that 1 John 3:1. See what great love. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. When I was meditating upon this verse, the things came to my heart that, like, what manner of love is this that, you know, He gave Himself for our sins, and He is loving us without any condition and willing to give us eternal life, as He has given us free precious gift of salvation and become our Savior. What manner of love is this that He accepts me as it is and forgive my all past sins and gives me hope to see Him face to face. So what manner of love is this? Like, from whom I can expect this kind of love? That, you know, if someone is there who is thinking about me for the eternal life. So yes, He loves us. And as I can see, the children are here, like, playing around and quite comfortable. Because in their mind, they know that, you know, that parents are around us, around there. And they are, like, you know, at rest. They are, because they know that if something goes wrong, parents are here. Right? The same way, if you turn to Psalm 131. In Psalm 131, David said, "Lord, my heart is not proud. I don't look down on others. I don't do great things. I can't do miracles. But I am calm and quiet, like a baby with its mother. I am at peace, like a baby with its mother." As you can see here, like, David is saying that I'm calm and quiet. In other words, I'm at rest, like a baby with its mother. Are we experiencing that love, that peace, that rest in Him every day? Right? That's the question to our heart. And our answer is yes, I think, because that's why we are here. Because the peace and the rest that we are getting from Him, and because of that, we don't want to miss any opportunity to give Him a thanks and then to praise His name. Right? As in John 16:33, Jesus said that you may have a peace in me. When we come to Him, we have a peace. No matter when. There is no particular time that, okay, Sunday morning or Saturday night or Friday night. There is no particular time. Whenever you come to me, you will be in a peace, right? And we are in a peace. Yes, few more verses that Jesus said in Matthew 6:25. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes?" 27. "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" 32. "For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." And Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So he knows our burden, right? And He knows our problems, He knows our trouble, and that's the reason that he spoke all these things. And in Matthew 11:28 says that you come all you come who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He is giving rest, doesn't it? Like, whenever we are worried about something, or whenever we can't find out something, and when we go to Him, He gives us solution. One or the other way, He gives us. And He wants to see us in a rest. There are so many things that we can't find out or figure it out that, or sometimes we just, you know, leave that hope that I can't do anything in this case. But still, He help us, maybe through words, maybe through brothers, some sisters, maybe through some message. But He helps us, and He wants to give us that rest, and He wants to get rid of that worry from our life. And seventh question is that, does God have any expectations from their children? Jesus is very clear in this case. And as Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, that love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And 39, and the second is love your neighbor as yourselves. So he has loved, like, you know, parents have some expectations from their children. And what is the very first expectation, like, of the parents from their children? I think children's love, doesn't it? That their children loves them. So same thing here also, as he is a living being, he is a living God. He has the expectation from us, from the children of God, is that we love him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. And love your neighbor, that is, love other children as well, not just up to us. So yes, that is a question for us, that are we meeting, you know, his expectations? Eighth question is that, as, like, you know, parents correct their children, right? So does God also correct their children? If you turn to Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13, 24, says that whoever spares the rod hates the children, but the one who loves that children is careful to discipline them. Right? By default, I think no one likes correction. Like, even, you know, if we can see, like, children around us, they don't like corrections by default. But still parents correct them because parents love them. Right? In the same way, our God also correct us where we are, like, stubborn, and, you know, in many things we want to do our things the way we want, but many times he doesn't allow us. He just stopped us somehow, and, you know, he corrects us, and then we realize that, thank God that, you know, we didn't go in that way. So yes, he also corrects us. And the final question is that, as we are talking about the living God, who is this living God? Now, Jesus asked these questions that, you know, to the disciples, that, what do you think? Who am I? And Simon Peter answered that, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Matthew 22, verse 32, says that, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And in John 8:58, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, and Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. The last verse is that Revelation 22:13. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So that means the living God that we are meditating this morning is the Jesus Christ. He is the living God. He is the living Savior. And because of Him only, we are at rest. Because of Him only, we are at peace. Because of Him only, we are here this morning and to worship Him and praise Him. So, as we have this privilege, like, just from Romans 9:26, that says that we are the children of God. As we have this privilege to become a children of God, what we should really do this morning. It's Psalm 104 says, the psalmist says that enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So as we have this opportunity, we should enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise his name. So let's just go to pray and worship him. Amen.